welcome to the big show. We're here to discuss all of the big stories of the week that have gone on. Not Apple, no Apple here. Only the big stories that relate to everyone else apart from them. So it should be good. Non-Apple friendly. No fanboys here. Just me and everyone else. Joining me to discuss the big week in tech, starting us off, top left, Chris Ashley. Brother, how you doing, man?
I'm chilling. You know how I do. Come in here, throw some stuff around, so get out, get on my Xbox.
How come you're not in our fantasy football league?
I don't know. I didn't get an invite. Oh, I'm a commissioner in two different leagues.
Yeah, no. So how are the Redskins looking this year?
Dude, I don't know, man. I was worried when I went to the first preseason game. And I was like, they kept the starters out like the whole half. And I know that's kind of common for the third preseason game. But, man, they just weren't looking good. And then that game against Pittsburgh was awful because in this area where I live, there's actually a ton of Steelers fans. There's a ton of Ravens fans. And, of course, there's a ton of Redskins fans. And you got, you know, a nice spattering of Dallas and Philly. It's such a transient area. Man, I swear maybe a quarter of the stadium was full with Pittsburgh fans. It was so nauseating. So I don't know what I was looking at out on that field. We'll see. We'll have to see. Try again this Sunday and see if we actually put a football team out there.
Mm. Well, yeah. Now my fantasy football team said it was a solid pick, but it lacked invention. I thought that was quite a compliment actually, because I had no frigging clue what I was doing.
You know what though? You know how many people win the league and don't know exactly what they're doing?
I picked Phil Rivers as me quarterback. And I picked Matthew Stafford as me backup quarterback from the Lions. And Stafford really outpaced him. But Rivers was second in passing yards last year.
Yeah. Phil Rivers is a beast. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's nothing a good choice. I'm all right then. I'm not an idiot.
Nah, you're good. You're good. Phil Rivers is always a solid choice.
So do you reckon I should run Stafford this weekend or should I run Rivers this weekend?
I'm a big proponent of going to the dance with who you came with. So if that's who you drafted as your starting quarterback, roll with them. You know what I mean? Because no matter what, you know, you're going to have weeks where your backup outscores your starter, but it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, the only thing, other thing you can look at is the matchups, you know, Stafford going against a weaker defense than what, you know, Phillip Rivers is going against. Right, okay. Other than that, you know, it just leave him in there. He's a solid quarterback.
Okay. So if I got Stafford going against, against the Seahawks or something, I should go with Rivers.
Yeah, okay. I'd leave him out there. They still have those. They still have those awesome.
I'm sorry to all those people that have just switched off. But that was really important to me because I have no frigging clue what I'm doing. We've got a BTN NFL Fantasy Football League, and we drafted last Monday night. And I had, so Jack, who works with me, he's my assistant, I had his little brother, Tom, who's 14, came around and helped me do the draft. That's how far out of my depth I am, so.
I'll be worse, mate.
Next to Chris, it's Jody, the foot Spangler.
Hi, everybody.
Is your surname really Spangler?
Yes, it is.
That is an awesome surname. That's like a deed poll surname, isn't it?
I think it's German.
That's good. So how's the foot, mate? Because you've been struggling.
I have. Past week. It's, it doesn't hurt as much, but I'm not supposed to be on it. I'm supposed to be off it for 3 weeks, according to the doctor. But, you know, there's no way in hell that I can do that. You got to be kidding. Yeah. So I kind of try to walk on my heel to or from something, and you know, crutches are like medieval torture devices, so I won't use those. But sometimes it gets angry, and at night it'll ache a little bit. But I'll just ice it, and then I'll be okay. But it's not like I'm running all over.
He's there to rub Ralgex. You've got Ralgex in the UK, in the US.
What is it?
Ralgex Deep Heat. It's torture if you put it on your private parts, but it's not if you don't. It's relieving.
I understand. Yes.
Okay.
Like icy hot. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the same if you
icy hot Ben Gay is what we use.
Right.
You can remove hair with it as well.
Okay.
But that's why you got a husband. Purpose. He's there to look after you and pamper you and take care of you. Surely.
I know, and he does a good job, but I am not that kind of person. I do not like to be pampered. I like to do it myself. So unfortunately. But, you know, he's been really good because when I first did it, you know, it hurts when you, you know, go flying through the air and you break and you have a fracture in three places. So the first couple of days I was down. But then, you know, it starts to feel better and then you just want to do things. But I got a knee scooter. So a knee scooter is like a little bike. And you put your knee on it, and I can just push myself all around.
Cool.
And I got in one of those horns because I was in the grocery store the other day, and some guy almost ran me over. So I put the horn on it so that, you know, if they come close to me, I'll just send them to the ceiling with my little horn. So
you got a knee scooter with an air horn.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not surprised?
I do.
I got to say, this week's story for Ingenuity goes to Jodie. No question. Next to her, we got someone who's online, who's on the. Oh mate, I can't find the actual line.
I'm live 4, apparently.
No, you're allegedly on live 4. It's Muller in the studio. How you doing, pal?
I'm all right, mate.
Have you got a story for us this week? Because you've been thrown at the deep end.
I have. Yeah, I've got one that. I think Chris Ashley will like.
Yeah.
And he will certainly have some opinions on.
If he hasn't already picked it.
No, I've already checked.
Oh, right. Okay,
we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Fair enough.
And I think Chris Ashley will have a lot of opinions about this story.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that, actually, because, let's save it. Let's save it for when it matters, definitely. But I've got a few theories of my own on that kind of subject, so there we go. Streaky's joining us, apparently. He's just getting two kids to sleep, and then he's going to dial in, and we'll be all good to go. So stick your story in the chat room. Chris, do you want to start us off? Jody's. We got a story. We've got a show title already from Bromley, which is Jody's Blow-Up Foot.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's not the one I
chose. Actually, I was going to... I was going to show you. I was going to see if I can't get a picture onto the feed.
Oh, no. We're a clean podcast. We're a clean podcast, mate. Don't be doing that.
I had chicken.
No, I've seen it already. I know why I shouldn't have it on. It's not. I've seen it already.
It's nasty.
Yeah, no. It's a swollen foot or 6 inches. Right, Chris. What's your story, man?
So you know we talked about this a little yesterday, and I love when we do have these dual conversations because it's always different. And, you know, I've been finding this whole Samsung exploding phone pretty funny at some times and pretty interesting at others. And they recently announced that Samsung was still dealing with people who are stubbornly not returning their phones. And so... they are in order to try to protect these folks from you know burning themselves up, they are going to send an update to the phones that will limit the battery charge to 60%. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, I'm a little worried that you guys can push an update to everybody's phones like that, but man, I just can't imagine, like, you know, you see these recalls on TV, you see people, you know, we've seen news reports of the phone burning up somebody's car. I don't believe that one so much, but I found it astounding that even with all the recalls, you know, they said it's up to like 77 phones now in the U.S. Have burned up, that the remedy is at least at this point, the quick and dirty remedy is to limit the phone's battery charge to 60%. And I was just wondering, you know, should people feel weird about that? Or is that a good quick fix? I'm just, you know, interested for the discussion around that.
Well, you know what I think? I think that they should make push an update so that when they're using it, it discharges the battery into their hands so they don't touch it again.
Oh, keep on. Oh, steady on, Fango. Easy. I think they should be put to a stake and burnt until they're dead.
Well, not that bad, but still.
And then the Scoleri brothers jump out of the stuff. Yeah.
Hello, Streak Machine. How the devil are you, mate?
I am okay considering the circumstances of kids not wanting to fall asleep. But besides that,
stress.
Life is okay.
And because it's like 20 past 10 over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Your kid should have been in bed asleep 2.5 hours ago.
That was the original idea. Mm-hmm.
Oh dear. Not enough corporal discipline then.
Yeah, they banned the darn thing decades ago. Can't do anything about it.
Can't touch him. They've got a lawyer.
Yeah, and it's a good lawyer, need I tell you. Mm.
So the question from Chris is, should Samsung have done more to limit the issue related to the battery? And are we bothered about the fact that they can issue a software up that says, you know what, if you've got the old version, you can't go past 60%?
Are we talking about the one that's exploding?
We're talking about the exploding version of the Nexus 7,
yeah. Disgraceful? I'm
not
sorry.
Not Nexus, the
Note 7.
Note 7, yeah.
Yep. It's disgraceful, end of. It's a personal thing. You bought the machine. The machine is yours. You should do what you want to do with it.
Well, even if it involves suicide.
What? Only 35 of them have exploded, so it's not exactly common.
It's enough for a recall, though, still.
Well, yeah, but if people want to return it, they should return it. If they don't, they don't. It's not. It's your personal view. It's your personal.
Yeah, but in the U.S., they're so happy. So if something burns up here, they showed a Jeep completely burned. I'm sure Samsung will be paying for that.
But
that's the reason why.
But if you've issued a recall and then told people and made enough, I don't know, you've told enough people and advertised it enough, and people don't return it, then that's their problem. Personally,
that would be nice.
But you're saying that the U.S. law wouldn't accept that as being a sufficient...
I don't say there's a dumbass born every minute, and there's people that don't listen, and they'll just hold them forever, and then they'll scream, and then they'll get some lawyer that will take on the case. That just always happens. They're so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, devil's advocate, it's not every phone that this is happening to. Surely they've sold a ton of them.
There's only 35.
35 out of 35, well, not 35, I don't know, millions anyway.
Yeah, I think they're up to 70. I think they said, 77? I think I read yesterday in the U.S.
Well, they're banning them on aircraft right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the trains just started banning them as well, which, you know what, makes sense because there's no way you can tell which one has it, which one doesn't. So you kind of do got to ban them all and just, you know, as far as safety is concerned for everybody.
But to be fair, let's just be devil's advocate here for a second, to be fair. This is only on recharge. It's not... If it's not on a charger, it's not at risk of exploding.
Exactly.
It's only on recharge.
Well, you know, you have, like, I carry those recharger, those sticks with me all the time when I'm in my car. My phone runs out, I have my stick, and I just charge it with that. I just wondered if it could do that when you had one of those with you.
I don't know that, but to be fair, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but from what I understand, it's only when it's recharging that there is an issue. Whether that's from a battery whether it's from a socket only, I don't know. But
it's only quick charge as well.
It's only quick charge. Yeah.
So it appears it can happen after charging as well, from some of the articles too. So after a charge.
Yeah, it's only when they use USB-C and use quick charge, isn't it? When they're hot charging it very fast. It's not normal charging that's doing it.
Yeah, so the update is expected to start rolling out on September 20th. I think they're going to focus on South Korea.
I believe it's out now in South Korea, if I read right the other day.
Yeah, they're going to focus on South Korea. But I'm also kind of... You know, it's funny that they can... I mean, I guess it's a good thing that they can push out this update. But one of the big things that we always talk about when we talk about Android phones is they never push out the latest version of the OS as quickly as they should. But man, protect their wallets and they'll get this update out relatively quickly.
It's not, there's no good press around this, is it, surely?
No, nothing. And what bad timing too. You got, the new iPhone coming out and then you have this happening with your phone. It's terrible. But I don't know. I don't know how to take the fact that, Samsung can push that update out to all these phones as well. That limits the amount of battery. It's kind of weird to me too. I guess overall it's the right thing to do, just to help protect people. I mean, they have a responsibility to do that to some extent. But I just thought this was kind of an odd type of story that came out yesterday.
Yeah, no, Well, the other thing is as well is whether people take the microcosm of 70 devices based on how many they've sold worldwide and turn it into something that is exponentially bad. But that said, even one device exploding is not good.
Yeah.
You can't have that. It's not okay.
How is limiting the charge going to stop them from exploding?
Well, that's the point, is that when they're on fast charge, they're going past. If you're talking about the acceleration, I'm guessing that it accelerates through the last 20 or 40% of the battery charge, potentially.
That's just the question I've got.
You need to use the microphone, dude, if you want people
Sorry. I think people could hear me. But that's just the question I've got, is how is limiting...
You still need to use the microphone.
Limiting the percentage. How is limiting the percentage going to stop them from exploding if they're overheating and exploding?
I'm guessing it's the race to that percentage, potentially. You know, it charges slower at lower levels and then it charges...
Well, surely it accelerates to higher levels and then slows down for the last few.
I don't know.
That's what tends to happen with iOS devices. They race to about 80% then they slow down.
Right. Well, my iPad didn't tonight, that's for sure. It raced to 6% and then stopped.
That's probably because it's dead.
Yeah, no. I hope not. Is Samsung going to recover from this, or is it going to? Because they're Android, and their sales figures are well in comparison to the iPhone.
I don't think they'll have a problem recovering. You know, like I said, you got people hanging on to them in the first place. I've definitely read articles where people are like, you know what, I'm hanging on to my phone. It's still one of the few phablets that are out there, and if rumors are true, the new.
The Note always intrigued me.
What's that?
The Note always intrigued me. I always fancied the Note.
I've had a couple of them. They're really good.
I almost opted for that, playing around with the Android. But I just went with the pure Android experience on the Nexus instead. But, you know, if the Nexus is true and they don't come out with a kind of a phablet size that my co-host was talking about, then that'll... pretty much send him back to the Note once they get it fixed. So I think Samsung, because they're the only alternative, I don't see why they wouldn't recover from this. But, you know, they're going to be part of memes and jokes for the next 10 years. That's for sure.
Interesting comment from Deepan in the chat room. He says, that's assuming that they're exploding because of the heat generation rather than a chemical reaction.
Hmm.
That would be an interesting analysis of where the problem lies. And I've got to say, if you're talking about a recall on 77 phones, then chemical reaction seems to be the more likely source rather than heat.
It's not going to be the phone, is it? It's the batteries.
No. Yeah, but they're talking about the heat from the battery recharge. So when you recharge an item very quickly, it generates more heat. Or is it a chemical reaction in the battery? I think that would be quite an interesting analysis, because the quickness of the recall might suggest that this could happen to any phone. That's why they've done it. No, I'm serious. Yeah, I'm not joking. Whereas if it's just a heat issue, then I don't see how the 60% is going to solve the problem. I don't see how...
Well, in that case, it's not going to be just the Note 7 that's going to be affected. It's going to be a lot of phones with that kind of battery, because those batteries are made by the same companies.
I don't know.
I guess the other thought is that, you know, if they limit the amount of battery, limit the amount of charge, that might force people to then return the phone, because they might become annoyed with the lack of battery capacity.
With
the battery capacity being reduced, that could annoy people into forcing them into returning the phone.
There's a good point here, and I know this from my own experience from using drones. Deep pan in the chat room saying, iffy batteries could expand when they're overcharged or when they charge too quickly, which causes cracking, and the cracking then exposes the chemicals to the atmosphere. And that's when you look at drone batteries and L-ion batteries going a bit vertical. So it does sound like it's the quick charging that's causing the problem.
It's not just that. It happened to a Mac I had years ago, and it expanded so much I couldn't use the touchpad. And when I took it to the Apple store, they replaced the battery. And, they did an awful lot to it, but they just...
Nearly all of the L-ion batteries I've got for drone have got some puffiness to them.
Yeah, but the thing is Apple replaced the battery after 30 months, which I was very impressed with, actually.
So, generally, Apple will say that the cycles are 300 cycles. Once you've gone past 300 cycles, they're not interested.
Yeah, but I took it to.
No, there's still a you can still get that. There's an extended warranty on that 2006 MacBook that has the expanding battery. They will still replace it if it does it to yours.
Oh, that must be the one then.
What's the timeline on that, Jody?
There is no timeline.
Oh, right, okay. So even now, they'll gladly change it.
It might have been the 2006.
That's on the Apple support tab that you will find that.
Good knowledge. Thank you, mate. Note 7 batteries are made by two different companies, and only one of them is faulting, says Deepan. Now, I didn't know they were made by two different batteries. What are the two battery companies that are making those, Deepan? Because that would be...
Samsung.
I haven't read up on this, so it's interesting
too. There aren't many people make lithium batteries, are there?
One of the other things that's gone on this week is that they're allegedly... not Kara Swisher. Who's the other lady that writes tech? Mary J. Foley. Mary J. Foley has written that there is no Ban 3 coming... at all in October, as was originally planned. But according to Paul Thurrott, they've renamed the Health mobile app as Band, Microsoft Band. So it's looking highly likely that mobile Band 3 is coming. So, which is interesting.
Well, to be clear.
Go on.
That's two different things. So the app... It's almost like they renamed the app as the replacement. So the band will now just be software based as opposed to being hardware based. So
are you thinking the band's not going to be a hardware device?
Right. So
really?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, because I've noticed on the Windows 10 is that the health app has changed to almost like what's on the phone. So
yeah.
On iOS, it's still the same, but on Windows 10 and on the phone, it's almost identical. So, I wonder.
Well,
iOS, it's still like what it was before, but on Windows 10, it's just like what's on your phone, and it's a little bit strange actually, because it doesn't give you the potential to charge, but maybe that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think Microsoft is just getting out of that hardware piece, and it wouldn't surprise me. It's not the first time they've introduced some new hardware and then decided shift the directions. But it would seem, because in the statement that Mary Jo Foley had in her ad, she pointed out that they were like, we're definitely going to continue to invest in the Microsoft Health app, and which is a cross platform thing. So it seems, and if you think about their overall business standpoint with Azure AD and Office 365, all their stuff is going to the cloud. So why not get out of the hardware piece for a specific hardware that they're building and build a cloud service that can be all the other bands can sync to and then share to your other health different data. So it's right along the lines of what they've been doing anyway. So
thing I thought with the Mary J. Foley article was the fact that she made a big leap from a very simple statement that was the band to form the architecture for the hardware for the future. And I just thought that she extrapolated too much information from what seemed to be an overly simplified statement.
Yeah, but she's not the only Microsoft expert that, that took it the same way. And we've been, there just hasn't been any type of rumors about the Band 3 whatsoever. If they come out with another one, that's great, because I'm a fan of them. I bought the one and it's still great. And I know people that have bought the 2 and they love it, but it's just not that surprising of a story to me. I know you guys look at it differently, but renaming the health app to Band, Why do that if you're coming out with another band? Now you're creating confusion. Is the band the software or is the band the hardware? You know what I mean?
I think it's sad because I've bought the Apple Watch and I'm ultimately disappointed with it in terms of what it gathers. It's not brilliant. And I was looking forward to trying the Band 3 and seeing if that was going to be a replacement for what I got. And I really, in my inner core, I don't want to buy an Apple II. I want to buy a Band 3. And okay, it's only $150 to $200, but Microsoft are passing up that income potentially.
Yeah. But again, when you're streamlining your business and you're trying to look for what's best and what's going to align with what you're already doing.
I'm not sure, you know,
100% sense.
So I'm not sure if they're in the hardware market at all anymore then, because actually they're making the Surface, but actually that's not going so great. And you look
I don't think they have a problem selling Surface.
Yeah, okay, but the hardware is not good. You look at a lot of the advertising that's going on in the UK at the moment. They're advertising Windows computers. They're not advertising the Surface that's doing stuff. And I'm also wondering whether, you know, they stepped away from the camera phone when actually they were the market leaders as far as a camera in a phone went, and they walked away from that. That doesn't appear to be in development to the fullest potential at all. And now Apple's kicked in. And to be honest, you know, I had the 1020. If they produced something in the last 6 months that was worth pulling me away from the iPhone, I'd have gone. I'd have happily moved over. But they haven't done that. It's, you know, Windows is really walking away from the hardware market to an exponential degree. They are leaving it flat effectively if they're not careful.
Yeah.
And they're getting in terms of hardware, they're getting a reputation that's almost like Google's from walking away from stuff. That's
they're getting close because they've definitely, you know, they've had they had the TV service, that the TV box that they did that was excellent. They walked away from that. They had the home router that was excellent. They walked away from that. They never walked away from keyboards and mouse, and I'm a huge fan of their keyboards and mouse. Who knows? I mean, I guess Xbox is, can't leave out Xbox though, so Xbox is still out there and all the peripherals that go with that. But yeah, it definitely seems to me like some of this stuff, they are just, it, you know, there's always more profit in software, and there's definitely gonna be more profit in residual software when you're in the cloud.
Why buy Nokia and walk away from a hardware market? I just don't get that.
They couldn't get in. I mean, even though, you know, with the most they ever got, after all that, was what, 6% of the market? I mean, they just could not break in.
Hang on a second. That's like trying to buy Rover cars and trying to compete with a Ferrari. Like trying to buy Ford and compete with Ferrari. You're in a different market. And if you look at what they did with the 1020, they earth shook the cell phone market for cameras. But they didn't follow it up. And that's the point, is that you have tried to compete with the iPhone, but actually they were never going to compete with the iPhone because what they produced was never anywhere near as good as the iPhone. The only thing that separated them was the camera phone. And they would have been the thinking man's camera phone if they'd have pursued it.
I agree with you. I really wish that they had just created a niche phone, which is what the rumors were before people started saying they're really kind of moving away from the phone business. The rumor was that they were going to create these niche Surface phones, if you will, and, you know, people would pay for them, and then it wouldn't be about market share. It would just be about having a phone that's on their platform, just a third option. But they're not looking to take over the world with it, but to have something on their platform in that form factor. So it could still be the case. We just don't know. But
I agree with you.
If they had stuck with, at least for the people that were the fans of the people, and especially the people that are fans of the 1020, I took some awesome pictures at the game with that phone. I kind of wish they would have just stuck with that and just charged full price. I'd pay full price for it. You know, you don't have to take a loss on that phone. Just charge full price. I'll pay full price for it. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, what about Symbian, though? Because Symbian is a... was on sale in like the third world, Africa, India, whatever, and still selling today. So where's this 6% coming from?
It was at 6. That's nothing
now. It still is. It's still major over there because it's cheap. The phones are cheap, and they cost what? I bought my wife a new phone recently. It was £10, which is about what, $15.
Mm-hmm.
And she's quite happy with that. It makes a phone call and it receives texts, and it charges for about 6 weeks. So, and these phones are still on offer in like India and the subcontinent, where they where they need to charge, and they've got no power, so they have to go to a charging station. So they want a phone that lasts for ages. They don't want a smartphone. They want a phone that they can just use. So.
But- chat room saying Nokia was a Barmer Boy purchase, nothing more.
Yeah, but that's what they've done. They've destroyed a major industry there because Symbian itself was selling in feature phones in the subcontinent, Africa and places like that, and they were selling bucket loads of them. They were cheap, so the margins weren't massive, but they were cheap and they were selling. So what's happened to that market?
I don't know if you can attribute Nokia's demise to Microsoft. I mean, they were free falling for a long time before that. Really, they didn't even have a smartphone until they started making the Windows phones.
Aside from the N95.
Yeah, you know, they didn't really break all the way and you know, clearly we look at HTC, we look at all these guys that are making Android phones. Just because you make an Android phone doesn't mean that you're going to be profitable with it.
No.
So that, you know, it's not the, you know, everybody's like, oh, they should have gone Android. No, there's no crystal ball that says that they would have been successful with it on Android either. So it's not like, you know, at least they got guaranteed money from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And then once things started to change, Microsoft had to buy them out because that was still their only phone provider at the time.
I was still thinking
about Jodie makes a good point here in the chat room. I don't know why she's saying not saying it, but she remembers Nokia phones, but Motorola took over as far as the US was concerned. Deepan makes a great point. He said the Lumia brand was far more popular in Europe than it was in the US. And yeah, they had a 15% market share in the UK and Spain and Italy and France, and they never capitalized on it.
Yeah, they never changed
the good phones.
Microsoft, they put their own boss in the top and then destroyed it from the top.
Hmm.
It was like they tried to bomb it from way up on high. So I'm not being funny, but the old boss of Nokia, wasn't he a Microsoft honcho? And you've got to wonder if there's
from Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you got to wonder if he had a, I don't know, internal problem. I'll just leave it there.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you still, at the end of the day, you have the, you know, you have phones. Me personally, I've never talked to, I've recommended the numerous Windows phones. Never heard anybody regret buying it. But you know, you still have. I don't know how Microsoft was ever going to solve the clear issue of apps not coming to the platform at the rate everybody else is. And I don't make it a big deal, but it's, again, it's just another knock against it when you're talking to people. It's rough, man, because I love the phone. I love the platform. I'm Xbox, Microsoft all day. But, you know, when you have these truthful conversations, I can't sit here and pretend like there aren't knocks that people are like, you know, I had my son on the Windows phone. He was like, man, I need these apps. My godson, same thing. It's like all my friends are using these apps. You know, as they come out, they're on Android, they're on iPhone. We can't do that on this platform, you know, and it speaks, and it's a real conversation, you know, and it's painful at the time, but it's just, at this point, it's just like, you know what, you know, I'd rather see the company survive than the phone survive.
Teach me to use app, the browser, not the apps.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Good story, mate. Thank you. Jodie, have you got a story for us?
Yes, I was wondering, since you are across the pond, and I don't know if you've heard about the U.S. giving up its DNS to ICANN now.
No.
So the government is no longer in control of the domain name serving of addresses on the Internet. So what do you think about that, or did you not hear about that?
So tell us more about this, because I haven't heard. This is the first I've heard.
It's funny because I'm looking at BBC.com, News Technology, and it's Article 37114313. And on October 1st, the United States is going to hand over the DNS naming. It's no longer going to be in charge of giving, you know, like if your IP address is like 192.168.1.1 and like my company's Lakeshore Mac is the DNS. And the United States government has always been in charge of that name, and now it's supposed to release that no more. So it's not the government that's going to be in charge. It's going to be ICANN that is in charge of that.
Is that ICANN as a subcontractor with a big golden payout from the government with still the same level of control, or is that ICAB going, do you know what, US government, sod off. I'm not doing what you want.
See, I mean, this is what I personally think. And, you know, it's a big thing. It's a political thing here. We have some congressmen like Ted Cruz and stuff. They're screaming that, you know, the Russians are going to get it and the Chinese are going to get it and they're going to take and do all this really bad stuff with these names. And, you know, so, you know, I really don't know, you know, what is true and what is not as far as that. But, you know, ICANN is international, but it's based in L.A. So, you know, I'm sure that the government's going to watch it at least for a while to make sure that nothing happens. You know, just because they're releasing it doesn't mean that they're not going to be, you know, on top of it, watching to see what happens. But they're supposed to be doing that. So, you know, it's supposed to shift to ICANN and not the UN. And that was another thing. The United Nations wanted it.
The UN. The, oh, hello.
Right.
That's Chris's daughter just butting in there in the background. Good on her. Well done, girl. If she thought this show was slick, she's gravely mistaken. So the first question from my view is whether there is a control process that's being remained with the US or whether this is actually just something that's, you know, farmed out for cheapness, if you like, to ICANN.
It hasn't happened yet. October 1.
Yeah. And the other question I've got in my head...
What's the motivation is what you're asking.
Well, yeah, there is the motivation element, but there is also the element of you know, we should get upset when things don't work our way. And I get upset when Apple do something that I don't like. I get upset when companies... I get upset when the news agent doesn't deliver my son's comic when he's supposed to. You know, if things don't work the way that you've paid for them to work, you get upset. And if domain registration and DNS registration doesn't work the way that you expect that it should, where do you go? Because you're not going to your government anymore because your government's just hived it off. And, right. And that's my thought process is... As a customer, A, how many people are even bothered or even know, and B, how many would speak up anyway if they even did know?
Well, it's saying that as of October that the U.S. government, through NTIA, will no longer be able to intervene on matters around the internet naming. Well, they can't interfere.
That's not good.
Now, can I be like...
I'll give you that link.
Well, basically, what I'm saying is that... Surely, if you say UK or France or Germany, and you'd go like, US can control the naming of the internet.
Well, that's always been the case, though. You can't get away from the fact that actually the name that you prosper is effectively controlled. But so if you're in Syria and they want to shut you down, it's shut down in California. It's not shut down in Syria.
Yeah, but the thing is, US didn't invent the internet. The internet is something that's developed.
Yeah, but it's who's paid for the infrastructure, mate. And unfortunately, the web of computers that controls the internet is US controlled.
Nah.
Well, that's because we invented it. No,
you didn't invent it.
Oh, give over.
No, you didn't invent it. No, you didn't. The protocol for a startup was an Englishman, so let's go from there.
You didn't invent it, but you put the money into the infrastructure. Let's be fair on that.
Well, they had ARPANET, which is the original.
I'm going to get emails about what's the difference between the web and the net. I don't want those, please.
Well, the Americans had ARPANET, and let's go from there. And then the internet was developed by an Englishman. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
But the point being that actually the infrastructure has been paid for largely.
Well, no, it isn't because it's worldwide, isn't it? All the servers are worldwide. So Virgin have one somewhere. It loads them in America. It's spread. That's the idea of the internet. It's all spread across the world. It's not an American thing.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is because basically they shut your domain name down in the US.
No, they can't.
Not anymore.
That's what the issue is of this disappearing because. The Americans could close the internet down, and yet the ICANN now controls it.
But I don't believe for one second that ICANN is not controlled by the US government.
Well, probably not, but there you go.
There's the question.
It's in LA, so I don't know.
But the thing is, it's pretty hard these days to close down the internet because it is so spread out. So somebody else, all the internet names are now spread across the world.
Deep Pan's on form tonight because he says, why don't they move their operation to Cork? Apple's got some spare office space.
I can't see this making much difference, to be honest.
Really? I don't know. Well, for the actual end user, I don't think it does make any difference. But in terms of the reciprocity of the of your control over the internet, I think it's huge.
No. I'm sorry, but I can't see the... So America can control the internet?
Yeah.
No,
go on, Street. You were looking like you wanted to say something there.
No, I was just thinking that, yeah, it's quite correct. The internet with the ARPANET began in the US, and since like the creation of TCP/IP back in like early 80s, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, it has grown exponentially globally. And from that point on, we have infrastructure built by governments, corporations, you name it, basically. So after that point, yeah, we have something more of a real global internet. But yes, the basic main control of the internet has still largely been with the US government. So this shifting from direct government control to kind of perhaps indirect, I suppose. So yeah, it's a pretty major thing, I would say.
Well, do you see this as a positive or do you see this as a BS move?
It's a positive.
Hard to say at this point. I'm not familiar with what exactly the differences will be per se, because it'll still be on U.S. soil, and therefore it'll probably be answerable to a whole lot of U.S. regulation and restriction and other funny stuff that could happen. So, yeah, I don't know. I want to find out a bit more details about that first.
Well, they were worried about, with the U.N. having it, about, concerns over human rights abuses. And that was in 2012 when they wanted to shift it to the UN, and they said no, and that's when they agreed then to shift it to ICANN, not the UN.
Right.
So and that's supposed to start October 1.
So the drive is a positive one, then.
I think that it is, just because even if it started here with ARPANET, with the colleges, with the government long ago. It has taken on a life of its own, and it is the voice of the world. And, we have trouble here in the United States if, you're aware of, the reality star that's, next in line for the presidency. So, who knows what's going to happen to our government? So it would be nice to have it so that it can't get screwed up by just one country. If that country gets screwed up, everyone has a little piece of that, then I'm hoping that it can't get taken down by somebody, or somebody can't say, oh, well, we own it, and oh, no, you can't say this, and you can't say that. I mean, it's basically now, our news channels here in the United States are basically propaganda. We can't find the truth. We have to get on the internet to find it. So, it would be, I mean, I think it's a good thing to take it out of the control of the government, because we don't know who's going to be eventually in control of it here. It could get worse.
Is Trump the new Godwin's law?
I don't know what he is, but he's just, people like him because he's not establishment, and that's what happened when you guys in the UK there voted for to get out of the UN and stuff. It is they hate the establishment because the establishment is not listening to the people, so they go off on a tangent to someone who he's just different. So that's why people, they don't want to go establishment. And it could be to our detriment. I don't know. The establishment sucks too, so who knows?
Deep Pan is chipping and he's saying, you and US government can't shut down the internet. Just the address book that the internet uses, the DNS system, which I think is the effect of the whole thing, really, to be honest. And he said, are all domains going to be changed to .Trump from now on?
.Trump. Who said that?
British Tech Network .Trump. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Can't they just switch to a subdomain? You just change your website to point at another subdomain.
Trump.btn.
No, I'm talking about the internet. So where all the numbers go down to? So you can go to Google, or you can use different people to go. So you can change your DNS and just go to a different DNS. and it would...
Yeah, but your DNS allocation is what... I mean, I know from our own experience that there's certain providers don't recognise our DNS from UK2 in the States.
Is that
and there's nothing... No. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just like the local provider just goes, do you know what? We're not recognising that DNS. And there is... We've got open DNS on our servers. We've done as much as we possibly can. You know, Anders and the backroom boys with Wheaters have tried their hardest to get the DNS sorted. And there are still places in the US that don't get us. And I have no idea why.
Well, they must have HamsterNet.
Well, I don't know, but it's local DNS issues. The DNS is the internet. That's the point.
Doesn't it propagate them?
Right.
No. There are certain sub-providers who will just shut down DNSs that they feel like, or they won't recognize them. They haven't even looked for them.
Mm, yeah, especially if you have one that's marked as authoritative, it's not going to go anywhere else to get the address beyond that.
Isn't that what they call...
Use the microphone, dude, for Christ's sake.
Sorry, isn't that sort of Big Brother?
No.
China does that.
No, they're not deliberately stopping. They're just lazy bastards.
Oh, right.
You're looking at it like it's like, okay, so I don't even know the name of the firm in Arizona or in Alaska doesn't want to see UK2 DNS. It just doesn't look for it. It's not specifically excluding. Yeah. It's just not there. It's not even opening its eyes to it.
So those people could actually go to, say, Google DNS. They could change their web.
It still won't help because their provider isn't recognizing it. It's not the local DNS that they search.
You can change it. You can change your DNS pointer, though, can't you?
Yes, but it doesn't help them because their local provider doesn't throw that DNS forwards to even be looked at.
I'll talk to you after
about this. They don't have it in their table as what's acceptable.
Thank you. As
a logical and accurate DNS. That's why.
We've got listeners in the States that write to me and say, we can't find your podcasts. We can't download them. We can't get them from the BTN website, even though we know it's there. And it's because their local provider isn't looking up for the DNS in its local table. It's got nothing to do with whether they're pointing it to Google, 888.8.8.8.8 or not. It's just the fact their local provider isn't passing that through.
Yeah, but their local provider, for me and you, is Virgin, but we can actually go to Google.
No, you can't. That's the point. Unless the local provider is willing to pass that DNS through, you don't get it. Absolutely.
Well, right, it's stopped. It's stopped at the local. Because they don't get all the way out. Makes it sound, that's the problem.
But Jody, stop making it sound like they're doing it deliberately, and they're not doing it deliberately.
No,
they're just
shit. It's HamsterNet.
I thought that was a fix. If you had a problem, you could actually just change the DNS and to look up a different DNS like Google or somebody else, and you get past all the restrictions.
Yeah, I don't know why that wouldn't work now that I think about it.
I'm pretty sure that works, though.
Now, I know most people are not going to know that they can change their DNS server.
But true, that's, and I'm pretty
but
sure
that still won't necessarily help.
No, it will.
If their provider, if their provider's not passing it forwards,
No. What you do, you change your pointer to your DNS to somebody else. You can change it to Google or to wherever you want to, if you want to.
That can resolve it, yeah.
Yeah.
Swamrat in the chat room says, luckily my provider, Comcrats, is providing it just fine. And Deepan says, DNS entry spread, but the owner of the DNS server will choose where the source information comes from. Yeah, and we've tried to open ours out as much as possible, and we can't get into
some
areas.
One thing for sure, they should definitely try to switch to Google or another DNS server that can resolve your BTN as a to the IP address. I don't understand why that wouldn't that should work.
I say Google tends to be the one that I've been told that works.
I tried Google and there was some stuff. I couldn't get Windows Update to work. That was the end of that.
Oh, well, that's Google.
So I don't recommend those fools. But because most people DNS are from the provider. So certainly if the provider is like, I don't recognize that DNS name, nor do I know who to forward to resolve it. Yeah, it's going to end right there. So, but if you just change the game and say, don't use their DNS, use UUNet or use Comcast or use Google, you know, then they're asked, the request to resolve BTN is coming from that, should in theory go to that other DNS server, and it should be able to then resolve it.
Well, you have to you have to edit your router, don't you? You can't just do it on your computer.
Well, you could just edit the host table. No, you don't have to edit. It's way beyond that. Yeah, you can change it on the router. You can change it on the PC. See,
let's move on, because Rich Dumm is saying, let's not even get into IPv4 versus IPv6. And Deep Pan says, but then you'd want to trust Google running the address book of your internet.
That's true.
No, because they ditch it after a year saying it was in beta. Are we seeing ICANN running DNS as positive or negative? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I think for now it's a positive, Phil, it's a negative.
You'll take it okay for now.
I'll agree with Chris.
Go on, Jody, it's your story.
Oh, what do I think? I think it's a positive. I think taking anything out of the government's a good thing.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And Streak?
No, I have to agree. I want to believe it will be a positive thing at least. In the next year or so, we should hopefully find out.
So we're saying yes, but reserve judgment?
That would be fair to say, yeah.
Okay. And Muller?
Yeah, I tend to go with the rest. Okay. I think it's not a bad thing.
I'll just go with the rest.
I'll go with the rest, yeah.
Streak, what's your story, dude?
Oh, we can actually continue on the previous topic in a way.
Oh, dear.
Picked up on a blog post by computer security guru Bruce Schneier the other day. And turns out, the internet has been under attack. Or rather, some specific points of said internet. Because even though it is distributed and spread out, there are still some core locations, like, for instance, all the core DNS servers. If all of those were to be attacked at the same time, for instance, you would see a heck of a lot of slowdown trying to go anywhere because your computer would just be wasting time waiting to hear back from the DNS server in question. Anyways, Schneier has basically said that someone, an unknown entity at this time and specific, has been deliberately, systematically attacking these core locations of the internet for the past 2 years about. What's the motivation? We're not sure. Who exactly? Well, we're still not sure. Theories? Yeah. Could be China. Could be Russia. But there's an awful lot of activity. It's well orchestrated. And it's aimed at a little bit too specific points to do maximum damage.
Is this the post someone is learning how to take down the internet?
Yeah.
So someone is looking to crash the entire process.
Pretty much. Someone wants to take down the whole thing.
Stop me ordering from Amazon.
It's
that bad.
It's pretty damn spooky, if you ask me.
So how... this is not just DDoS, then. This is...
It's the beginning. Like, DDoS is the definitely the spear, or the tip of the spear, if nothing else, aimed at these central locations.
But DDoS won't take the entire internet down. They've got to have multiple attacks at multiple key locations. That's
going
to be massive.
That would be very difficult to orchestrate, to say the least.
Right.
Well, I remember in the past they got it down to, I think there's, 13 of them? Where they got it down, they hit 8 of them. There wasn't that many open. That was a few years ago.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It was a few years back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I remember something like that.
Mm-hmm. And they slowed down very large parts of the internet at that time. They didn't manage to sink it, fortunately.
That was on the backbone. If they get the backbone, then we're out. Everybody's out.
Exactly. The interconnect between all the major nodes, the fast stuff that you're not really supposed to be messing with.
No.
So how
they got 8 out of the 13. Yeah, we were pretty close.
Yeah.
So how realistic is this as an attack process?
Assuming that it would be a nation state, that level, who knows how good, so to speak, they can be at doing this.
So you're talking about a government-sponsored takedown here. This is not some dickhead in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, we have gone way beyond that.
With cheese
this is
underpants.
Real cyber warfare, as it were.
So we're talking about a nation taking down the entire internet.
Or at least attempting to do so.
And there's no IP addresses here associated with this. There's no clues as to who's doing it.
Nothing specific. I'm just skimming through it here. But Schneier says that VeriSign, who of course publishes these DDoS trends, they noticed that in Q2 of this year, attacks continued to become more frequent, persistent, and complex. And that sentence alone, it just freaks me out on so many different levels.
Yeah, because it's not just about how to get in, it's about how to make it exponentially worse than just getting in. Yeah, okay.
So it's going on. Question is, how do we combat it? I have no idea if you even can combat something like this. I mean, a regular DDoS attack is bad enough. Now we're talking about aimed DDoS attacks, plural, towards the core of the internet. So, I mean, yay.
It's amazing that with all the technological leaps we've made, the most basic attack is still the number one thing used when they're trying to take down Xbox Live and take down the internet, trying to take down companies. It freaking get a bunch of servers, this bam, hey, I'm here, hey, I'm here messages to their network, and it's a wrap. Unbelievable. We have not beaten DDoS yet.
Well, if you think about it, we have so much legacy stuff. Take DNS, for instance. I mean, it's a miracle that it works at all. If you look at the technology, it's stuff that's been around since 30 years back and has just got more junk bolted onto it with time. But we haven't really rethought if that's how we should do it in a modern way, a better way, perhaps even. So
until 1998, there was just one guy that was doing that naming convention. After 98 that the government got involved into doing that.
And he just one day realized, wasn't it, that just maybe I shouldn't have all this responsibility, and he kind of delegated it to...
Well, he died.
I just, yeah, some things is just amazing.
Yeah, that's not good. Last major attack, says Jody, was 2002.
Right, and I gave the article, there's a Macworld article about the 13 backbones and then how many they got and stuff. I can remember that.
Are we still at 13 backbones or have we gone bigger?
That I don't know.
That kind of information is a little bit sketchy and difficult to get a hold of, but I want to remember that I heard about it expanding to more locations by now, at least.
And so it friggin' should be. Thought process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this just brings back to mind, like, was it 87, the big internet worm, the thing that nearly really killed the internet? The internet was a lot more primitive back then, but, you know, it was gone, effectively. So,
I mean, oh man, for a lot of us, taking down the internet is not being able to shop on Amazon. I was waiting for Seisha's hoodie, but actually that's the bigger impact for most of us. But I mean, okay, you're talking, but if you actually took down the internet, you're going, okay, well, I can't buy my new X item from Amazon. But if you look at the catastrophic effects on global economy, that would be... Because money doesn't change hands anymore, whether you're talking about at the Amazon level or whether you're talking about at the global market level, if the internet goes down. So you're talking fire sale. You're talking dark days. It's back to the primordial soup, almost.
Yeah, and that's pretty much... My theory is why they're even attempting to do it. They want to create chaos for their own mischievous little purposes, whatever they might be, whoever is doing it.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's a discussion in that, though, Bob. It's like, this is a bad thing. Let's not have this, please, because I don't want it anymore.
So it really puts things into perspective and how vulnerable this rather amazing thing called the internet actually is, if someone is persistent enough, which it usually is with computers.
Yeah.
Good story, mate. Good story, although I'm now crapping myself.
Well, I mean, this is like sci-fi level stuff, and I like a good piece of sci-fi, but this is real, so yeah, I'm having sleeping issues already.
Yeah, no.
I just bought a new bed. My sleeping issues are almost over.
Oh, I envy you so much now.
Excellent, mate. Well done.
Oh, man. I had to jump Tempur-Pedic. And it was lovely. Last night was the first night.
Is that your cool? So you're no longer a Tempur-Pedic virgin?
No. I broke my Tempur-Pedic cherry last night. Slept on it. Didn't toss and turn. Not one single time. Woke up this morning and just smiled. This is awesome.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. Well done.
So happy.
Muller, have you got a story? Is that it?
I sent it to your account.
So you're talking about...
Microsoft.
Is finally bringing desktop apps to the Windows Store.
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought Chris would like this one, actually. Cause,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've got a Windows PC because I bought something from you, and I built myself a monster PC, and I've been very disappointed that the Windows Store, it's pretty poor, to be honest, and the games on it are awful. So I'll be very interested to see what they bring to this, because I actually do quite like the Steam Store, and I buy a few games in the Steam Store, so which run across cross-platform sometimes from iOS the Mac to Windows. But I really would like to have a few games, some decent games, where I could actually just buy them in one place and they would just work. And or some apps that just work. I don't want to have CDs lying in a cupboard, could be misplaced. Or I could just log in, they would just download. And actually, I mean, this might be a good thing.
Well, that's called the Mac App Store.
Yeah, but this is not the Mac
fight.
That's what we're talking about. I think Windows is finally catching up.
I think this is a precursor to what they're doing with the Xbox gaming platform, where you'll be able to buy it once and play it on your Xbox, play it on Windows. Progress will be kept up between the two platforms. And so it would make sense for them to, because what they did previously is like you could list an app that was for a desktop in there, but when you went to install it, it would kind of take you out of the store. So with that big announcement, and we're just right around the corner from that, and the fact that also with Sony turning around and saying that they're going to start putting some of the PlayStation games on Windows 10, I think it's a good start, and it makes sense that they start doing this now.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a Mac.
Oh, Jody, you want to reply?
Well, you know something. Once you go Mac, you just never go back. So what can I say?
It's a good thing I'm black.
I'm both.
I'm black on a Mac. We have one of those.
Is it because I use Mac?
What is this app store of which you speak? I'm used to just typing into the terminal app.get and I'll install and something else.
App.get. Well, they have an app store for all devices, and then you just get, you know, the apps have been, vetted so that they don't have viruses or, you know, anything bad through the app store.
Just steady on with that claim, mate. I'm a fanboy same way, mate, but I'm afraid that's not entirely true.
Once in a while, things get through, but not often.
Okay, let's qualify that, yeah. I don't know. I just think
the quality of the apps at the moment is on both Mac and Windows at the moment is pretty poor. And hopefully...
Yeah, I don't think the quality of the apps is poor. It's the searchability. The searchability is shit on everywhere. And one of the things that lets the... And this is the one thing I will say, the positive of Apple... is that the searchability is poor on both stores, but when you go to the Microsoft store, trying to find genuine apps, as opposed to someone who is just scribbling the name down, and you type in Google, and you will get 35 apps that claim that they're Google, and they're not. It is horrifically bad. It's the Wild West in comparison to what you get from the Mac App Store, where you can see some verification and ability of certification, if not even security. Am I wrong?
Conversely, though, on the iOS App Store, it's really horrendous, if you ask me.
You've got like a billion apps, and you type in the term fart, and it's all there is.
Are we talking about desktop or the phone?
Both. I've got to say, for iOS and OS 10, you can type in the name of the application and still not get the application back. And that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. And from my point of view, from Windows 10, is you type in stuff and you just get junk.
Well, you do. That's true of both stores.
On both stores, yeah. And you can't find stuff, and you want something useful. And you're quite happy to pay for something useful. And you just get up there and you just go like, oh, bugger this, I'll go to Amazon, I'll get a disc.
You may have a problem here, Robert, because Bronwyn has decided that you're a CLI nerd after her own heart.
Ooh, well, I'll take that. That's a kudos. Nice title to have.
Kudos, give you an address.
But the thing is, too, though, is when people take the time to make their app nice, the apps are, you know, the app, like the Netflix is one of my favorite apps on in the store. Netflix is great. Facebook is great. The Messenger app, Facebook Messenger app is pretty good. So if you, and the fact that Microsoft also, you know, with that desktop app converter tool, which should take a desktop app and convert it so you can put it in the store. I don't know. It's not for lack of trying on Microsoft's part to get folks to embrace this stuff and get these apps into the store. So it,
I do think that one of the things that lacks, though, Chris, is the review system, because the review system, once you've got 5 reviews that show all positive at 5 stars that were probably issued by the developer or his mates, that's it then at that point, because not a lot of people download that application. You don't get the, I don't know what I'm looking for, but there's a kind of equilibrium that comes from the Mac App Store because so many people are reviewing it.
Sure.
You do look at the stars knowing that they're probably fairly valid. If it's a 3-star, it may fit you, it may not. If it's a 1-star, it probably won't. Whereas if you look in the Mac App, the Microsoft stores, on the phone particularly, it's just horrific. You look at a 5-star review and when you download it, holy crap, it's like, you know, what was this supposed to do? It doesn't even provide me toilet paper to wipe my ass. It's just I've bought applications that are supposedly spirit levels, and you're like, I know that this surface is level, and that's telling me it's not. And then I put up a surface which I know is out, and it shows me it is. And it, you know, that's fundamental in its production.
Sure.
There's no timer on Microsoft.
Yeah.
A 5-minute timer is impossible to plus or minus 1 minute, which is kind of silly when you talk about a 5-minute timer.
That's a bit like Google. When Google put that time limit on, I thought that was out of order. 15 minutes to, you know, try an app and decide whether to keep it or not.
Yeah, no, not good.
It's not
I was enough. Talking about timer in terms of, like, you can't set a 5-minute timer on an Apple phone.
Well,
still,
plus or
minus one minute is accurate.
You should either have a time limited, like a couple of days or so many uses, or you get a period of time, but not like 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes like Google give you, which is ridiculous, to be honest. And it's even worse on iOS, because you don't even get that. You have to petition Apple to get a refund. Which,
but they're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I haven't had one refund refused by Apple, not one.
Yeah, but they know who you are.
I don't see how that works. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Please check them out, because they keep us going. They've got servers that host all of our shows. They provide us with the server that gives you the live feed on a Thursday night. And they also provide us with the server that gives you the NQL feed, the not quite live feed, where you can look back over all the crap that we've produced in God knows how long and chuck tomatoes at it. Please support UK2. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll find all the offer codes there. You could end up clearing your basket if you're not careful. And go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, because that'll give us kudos to the fact that we've sent you there in the first place. We'd be lost without them. And also, please give some thanks to Hoya. podcasts@hoya.co.uk or podcast@hoya.co.uk will get you through to them. And they gave us a Mac Mini for the Skype wall, and they give me the glasses that I'm wearing, brand new glasses for use here in the studio only. And they're brilliant. Please check them out. And if you've got one thing that you can do for Hoya, it's go into your local optician and go, do you do Hoya? And if they go, no, you go, that's a shame, and walk away. That's all you've got to do. And if you can, then send the email through that's got the address of where they are. But superb. Please thank UK2 and Hoyer on Twitter as well, if you possibly can. That would be wonderful. Do we have a cool thing? A big Chris?
You know, I got something cool. So I just mentioned that I got a new bed. And the way it worked was, I haven't been sleeping well for a couple of years now, and you know, I knew I needed a bed, so it was time to get rid of it. But when you go through that decision, you're like, all right, I'm gonna spend the big dollars and get the big boy bed. And then you're looking at your room, it's like, okay, this wildly expensive bed is about to come in here, and you're gonna put it on the same old carpet. And then you're like, all right, let's rip up the carpet and put some hardwood floors down. And then, so one of the tools you obviously use when you use a hardwood floor is a nail gun. But I've been actively trying to get away from, like the big crazy machine. So I'm looking at a battery powered snowblower later on this year. And then I got this battery powered nailer by Ryobi.
How does a snowblower like carpets?
I got a battery powered snowblower. I'm gonna get one, and I want to. I have a battery powered lawnmower, that is awesome, and so I'm trying to get more battery powered stuff. You know, and whether it be gas or whether it be, you know, if you ever used the nail gun before, you know, you got to plug in the tank. You got that thing's got to charge up. It's loud as hell, and sometimes you just need to do something quick. And the Ryobi 1 Airstrike nailer, it's perfect. It's battery powered. Put the battery in. Uses the same 18 gauge nails that you would use in a regular nailer, and that thing actually drives the nails just as well as any nail gun I've ever used. And for us, it's only like $140, but it has the adjustable pressure, so you can determine how far the nails are going. It also has the safety thing on the front, of course. You can also adjust how far the nail gets the countersink of the nail goes. But I had to put in some quarter round between the hardwood floor, and this thing was just absolutely perfect. I didn't have to go get the tank, get the hose, plug it in, I didn't have to do all of that stuff. I just grabbed this thing, put the battery in it, and it went around the room and put the quarter round in at the bottom of the floor. So
I don't know if we're allowed nail guns in the UK.
I was about to ask that. Can it shoot bad guys?
Well, it does in Lethal Weapon 3,
yeah,
doesn't
what
it?
I was thinking, actually. Can you shoot bad guys with it from a distance?
Of course you can shoot bad guys with it. What are you talking about? Did you not see the Equalizer?
I honestly don't think in the UK we're allowed a nail gun. We're not old enough.
Get out of here. So,
well, they were probably classed as a weapon, to be honest with you.
I'll have
to look at that. Actually,
I can see you guys out there shooting yourselves in the foot, but my electric powered motor.
Mate, we wouldn't need an algorithm for that. I do it on a weekly basis, according to the emails I get. So you put. Hang on, here we go. Amazon.co.uk. I've got Ryobi. I love Ryobi.
And it also uses the same battery as the other Ryobi stuff too.
Holy crap! That's £212.
And you can buy one.
Yeah, you can buy it in the UK store.
And you can shoot people.
And it's big, sexy, holy crap shit, like you'd expect in a US movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, and it gets the job done. There you go. That's my pick.
The Brad 18GA cordless Brad nailer.
You know Ewan's going to buy this to shoot rats with.
£212, however.
Well, you can afford that.
And it comes with boxes of nails. And the boxes of nails are £9.50 each.
What calibre are they?
The calibre is 50mm and 30mm. Box of 5,000. So you can buy a gun with 5,000 rounds in it for £9.50.
Oh, the rats in your gun are dead, aren't they?
Oh, the rats are dead anyway from the air rifle.
Oh, I've got to go to
air. It's over. It's over.
Does it have a high capacity mag, says Deep Down? that's worrying. I know they do like, because you do like belt sander races, don't you? Down path where you turn your belt sander on. And it,
I've even never even heard of it.
Oh, belt sander racing is massive.
What are you guys doing out there?
I'm just wondering if there's an airstrike nailer circuit where you... And it's like however far it embeds into the oak that is 2 meters away or something like that.
I love this thing. I really do.
I can see why, because I love it as well until my son got hold of it and killed a cat.
Oh,
I'd come home and the cat would be like Jesus on the shed.
He would have to push that thing up against his head. And if he's doing it up that close,
Jesus,
man,
wasn't nailed in the head. Go back to your scripture, man.
Hold on, you said like you could shoot it from a distance.
I'm an atheist.
Of course I was kidding. No, you can't.
I'm an atheist, no, and I know Jesus wasn't nailed in the head.
So basically, it's rubbish then.
No, you can't shoot. If it can't nail a cat against the shed wall, then it's not good enough.
If you can't shoot a bad guy from 40 feet.
That's the measure. It's the cat shed rule.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, mate. That's not cool.
No. I'm not buying that now. I was going to until it realized it didn't nail the cat up.
Yeah, no. You're not shooting it. For anybody else doing home projects around the house, take a look at this bad boy.
And for any of the rest of you out there listening that are into S&M, no. It's too much. All right, man? This is beyond safe word.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Talking to safe word, Jody, have you got a cool thing for us?
I do. I was looking for another HDMI splitter because my Apple TV 4 would no longer project to the built-in that I had for my 55-inch Samsung TV. So I got a Rocketfish 1080p 4-port HDMI switcher, and it has 4 ports, and when I put my new Apple TV in there, you know, the picture's perfect, everything works great. So I really liked that little Rocketfish. It cost me $50. I like it because, like, that Vilken that I had, the ports were on each side, and it kind of was like on top of my systems, kind of sideways. This one, it has the lights in the front, the ports are in the back. It's very easy to get to. So I did get that. And then I also, one thing that I hate about my Apple TV, which, you know, I have 6 of them in this house, one on each television, but I only have one new one. But what I hate about it is that, you know, Amazon does not play nice with Apple, or Apple doesn't play nice with Amazon or something. And being an Amazon Prime member, you know, I have, you know, movies that I get with that. And I would have to AirPlay them from my iPhone in order to get them to play on the TV, which is, you know, it's stupid. So I got a little Roku stick. And that little Roku stick, I just stuck it in the front of that little HDMI switch. And I didn't have to have it in a port in the back of the TV or anything. It works perfect on that 1080p switch. And now I've got my little Roku where that I can play my Amazon Prime movies. And I like the remote on it because, you know, my husband is techless. You know, I'm the tech in this house, and it has an Amazon Prime button. All he has to do is push the Amazon Prime button, and his movies come up. So, you know, I was able to do that with that HDMI switch that allowed me to. I have a PS3 on that. I've got a Blu-ray on it. I have the Apple TV on it. Now I have the Roku on it. So that's 4 extra devices, and it works flawlessly.
I can only find a Rocketfish that's got 2 ports on it in the Amazon store in the UK.
Oh, that's too bad. This is also on Best Buy. I actually physically went to Best Buy and bought it.
I love that. I say it and she brushes over like, ah, it's stiff shit. It's
like, you can't buy it.
Oh, too bad.
Well, why do you only have 2 ports?
I don't know. Because we're in the UK. You see, we can't afford more than one HDMI device in the UK.
I guess.
We still have to go into a cubicle in the garden to have a crap, so. it's currently unavailable as well. That's the two-way one, and there's no 4-way one, so bad luck, Britain.
You don't have any device besides Rocketfish that's a 4-port?
Well, no, I'm talking about your recommendation, Jody, so.
Oh, okay, well.
We respect
if something else is just 1080p, it's just, you know, and it's 3D also, so. You know, that is like the new Apple TV has. Well, you have to have that. If you have an older switch, it won't work.
1080 should go beyond 4K anyway if it's true HDMI.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a problem. There are ones available. There's a 4x4 matrix one called Porta with 2 T's, P-O-R-T-T-A HDMI switch splitter. I bought an automatic one that my son's not plugged anything into yet, and it doesn't work because he hasn't plugged anything into it yet. He's a lazy little shit. have you got a cool thing for us, Streak?
Yeah, it's a bit of an oldie but a goldie. VirtualBox, the free awesome little piece of software that lets you run a computer inside your computer, sort of.
VirtualBox.
Really, really been loving it lately because I've been trying out lots of other operating systems. FreeBSD being one. So if you want to play around with that, yep, it's got great support for that. So you don't have to have a separate computer. Just install it into your own little virtual computer, inside your computer, so to speak. And full range of playability. You can do whatever you want, mostly at least. Still has a bit janky support for 3D stuff, especially in Windows, I would say.
And it's still got a website that's like it's GeoCities.
Don't get me started on the website. The product, on the other hand, works wonderfully well.
I can reaffirm that because I've got VirtualBox and I'm running version 8 of the really good software that lets you run Windows.
Hmm?
Which one?
VirtualBox runs, it's got my Windows, it's got my Windows 8 install on it, on the Mac, and it's brilliant. Works just fine. And you don't have the problem that you've got with Parallels, where once it goes up the next grade, it goes, oh, got to buy a new one.
They have a really aggressive strategy when it comes to, fork up some of your money, please.
Yeah, I can't stand Parallels. VirtualBox does it free. It does it really, really well. And it lets you have external ports as well as.
Yeah, the feature set is really impressive, and it has only gotten better in the, I don't know, like 8 years I've been using it. Yeah. It's an incredibly impressive piece of software that you don't have to pay any money for, as long as you're not, you know, a company or whatever. But if you're using it for yourself, go for it.
Really, really good. Good choice, mate. Yeah. Excellent, mate. Are you going to pick your sodding Casio calculator?
No, because you
picked it on the Mac show.
No, you did.
I just want to fill everyone who listens to the big show. Muller brought tonight a 40-year-old Casio calculator. Hold it up to the camera. And it was because it's his birthday, right? So he got this when he was 16 for work. Hang on. For school.
For school.
He got given...
Happy birthday.
It's his birthday yesterday. He got given this for his 16th birthday. He's now 56. So this thing is 40 years old. In the back, there is a 40-year-old CR232 battery. There it is. Okay. And when it's seated properly, because I messed around with it, 2032 even. There we go. And you switch it on, it works. It's a Casio computer, mini computer, calculator type thing that works with a 40-year-old battery in it. A 40-year-old little computer with a 40-year-old battery. Well done, Muller.
I know.
Keeping it alive this long.
But that's not my...
Shame you couldn't hold on to the beers the other week when my daughter chasing you 15 quid worth of beer. But he's kept hold of that for Christ knows how long.
That's not my cool thing. I think you'll like the cool thing.
What's your cool thing, then? Go on.
My glasses.
Your Hoyer
top loaders. They're my cool thing.
So you had some Hoyer glasses before, and I loved those.
I did, yeah.
But they fell off your face one day, and you've not worn them since. But you love these, because you say they're more sturdy.
I do. I actually think they're... Well, because the lenses are held there, before they were held there, and that they were prone to be, they're prone to flexing. Because the lenses are held there, I have actually noticed they're a lot more sturdy.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, on Saturday, I went out for a few beers, it drunkenly grabbed my glasses off my face to read a menu. And before I punched him, because I wanted to, because these are my pride and joy.
Yeah,
I don't wear them often now, I keep them for best. I said to him, like, excuse me, sir. Please do not grab my glasses off my face.
Yeah, no. They look good, I have to say.
Yeah. So, but they survived his rough handling. And to be honest with you, they are a lot sturdier than the previous pair. And I'll tell you what, I love them. I do love them. Thank you, Hoyer.
There you go.
They're brilliant. Happy man. I am, actually. The last pair were nice, but these are... 1,000% better.
Hoyer have. I'm wearing these are the new Hoyer Avantech. They have actually increased the frame here. So instead of being, I think it's stupid, it's like instead of being 0.85 of a millimeter, it's now 1.2 of a millimeter. So it's they've improved the size here, and it makes a massive difference to the glasses.
I don't know what it is about the top, but when they're on the top, they don't flex as much. No. I don't know what it is. Because the metal goes right across the top. The flexing happens in the metal rather than the lens.
In the lens,
and yeah. I don't know what it is, but they do feel a lot sturdier.
Watch this space, because in 2 weeks' time, maybe three, we've got an announcement from Hoya which is going to just shake the world of optometry like you wouldn't believe. It is unbelievable. I can't say any more because...
We don't know.
but even the guy that told me that it's coming in 3 weeks signed an NDA and he can't tell me what it is. But I promise you, in 3 to 4 weeks, it'll be... Hold your socks, because we're about to blow your pants off.
But if it isn't, just buy some top loaders. They're great. I really love them, man.
Yeah, they're good. Chris, where can we get a hold of you?
You can always find me every week recording the SMR podcast with my two buddies, Mr. Rob Dunwood and Mr. Rod Simmons. Man, you just come and check us out, man. I don't know what else to tell you. That's one of the funnest podcasts you'll ever listen to.
Excellent.
We get into tech. We get into, you know, personal. We get into social. We don't care. And you can always catch me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley.
Is every one of your listeners getting free glasses, says Bronwyn? I don't think so, but okay.
No. Well, I'll draw you some.
All five of them. Jody, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can find me on Twitter as Mac Find Her, or you can go to my website as lakeshoremac.com.
Or on your sofa with your husband, with your foot up, with your husband running around you like a servant. Or
he has that too.
On your wheelie thingy.
On my wheelie, yep.
Good on you. You need a picture of that, definitely.
I'll send you one.
I don't want a picture of your foot anymore. I want a picture of you on your wheelie.
Okay.
By your husband, or your husband bringing you a gin and tonic or something like that. Okay. Treating you properly. Streak, where are you, sir?
As the last... Ooh, what are we now up to? 6 years. You can find me on streakmachine.com.
Putting kids to sleep.
Oh, yeah, that too. Or at least attempting to. And failing miserably some nights.
Taking the coffee. All right, mate. Well done. Muller, where are you, sir?
I'm on Muller Bike at Twitter. And I work now for Birmingham Museums. And come down to Aston Hall and support Birmingham Museums if you're in the area, please.
What's your title they've given you?
I'm oh, crikey, you know what it is.
You're an historical interpreter.
Yeah, that's what. That's
what a pile of shit that is.
I know, but I do normally when I'm not when I'm a bit sober.
No, but the title they've given you is just like a historical interpreter rather than a tour guide.
I tell you all about
what happened in the past.
Yeah,
because the past speaks a different language.
Birmingham heritage.
Okay. Right.
So come down to, if you're in Birmingham,
he hasn't convinced me.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not saying you talk shit. What I'm saying is the job title sounds like you talk shit.
Oh, And I talk shit as well. But
my name's Ewan Rankin, and I talk shit for a living as well. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get us at British Tech on Twitter as well. Don't forget to check out the news show every single day with Carl Swagger. And also give us a donation via Patreon if you possibly can. We'll see you next week on Thursday. Thursday nights is the normal night there for live shows. Have a great time.